Mem Tes. Very exciting. Din Chama Chenimsa Bechanus Yisrael Vaparlem Enam Yehudim Vaybehechach. Jew has a store, and the workers there are not Jewish. We find chametz there. So what's the story? Chanusha Yisrael, the store belongs to the Jew. Umalai, which means perish, has schara uklia chanus. The merchandise, Shay Yisrael, belongs to the Jew. Uparlaman etnasan mashom enam Yehudim, but the workers are not Jewish. Okay. Chomet shenimsa sham acher Pesach. We find chomet after Pesach. So we can say that it belongs to the Baal HaBayis. You know, he was selling bread and stuff like that. He was selling things in his store. Or we can say it's from the workers. If it's from him, it's also bound up to Pesach. If it's from the workers, it's mutter. We assume it belongs to the Jew. Mr. Burrow will deal with why is that? Why don't we at least say it's a suffix, and we should matter based on suffix?
What did you say, Malay was?
Malay is the Rambam explains. Pirish aschara kliyam chanus. Malay means literally means the things you fill it up with, but it means the merchandise. But the merchandise being over here, some of it was chametz. Okay, chanus al ena Yehudi. Umalai shall ena Yehudi. The opposite case where the store was owned by a non-Jew and the merchandise belonged to the non-Jew. The problem is Masham Yisrael. And the workers who work in the store were Jewish. Chometz Shasham Mutter Filabachil. So that chometz, which is there after Pesach, we assume belongs to the Goy. Kahi Girsis Rashi Berben Ohai. That's the Girsis Rashi and the Ben Ohai, and it's a Gemara, it's a Braisa. In Masechtas Pesachim, Al Rabbeinu Chanan Al Garis Behepach. He has exact opposite girsa. In the first scenario, the loch is the chometz is mutter b'hanoa, because we might come from the goy. In the second scenario, the chometz is also b'hanoa. We assume it came from the Jew. Okay, let's see the Mishnah Berurah Aleph. Pirish Haschara, Marish Haschara. It was food, merchandise food, so included bread also. Similar types of things. Parliament of Mashom, Haino Lassus Malacha, Ashimishadam Limp Mikhir Saskara, either they were doing work there, fixing something up. Or they were hired just to be salesman. It's a chomos you find after Pesach is also b'hano. The tolinin shachomet zeh shal hachanusu b'loi mipoilim. It belongs to the chanus and not the workers. Now, av shehem regilim shom l'chor, the workers are there constantly, so why don't we say maybe it fell from one of the workers? Shemot b'hano then. The chametz of the store itself, I mean, that's my store. I sell your bread. It's always there. It's more logical to say he missed the spot on the bedika, and that's what he found now, than to say that the chometz wasn't from this store, which is a store which constantly has chometz the whole year. And I find chometz and says, you know what? It probably didn't come from here. It probably came because a bird dropped. I mean, like, you know, I'm not going to say that. It probably came here because it belonged here. Because there's so much chometz going through here. The probabilities are this is where it came from. So we would assume the chometz which is there is chometz which belonged to the owner. Just need to find a base of Atika.
This store was closed during Pesach?
Yeah. Or what it was, well, let's assume it wasn't selling anything which would be also. Uparsha demari shemotza tekev achra Pesach, binyan shein litoiz shechomet shel achshem. Maybe the chomet you find right now was for the last batch of bread that you baked after Pesach. No, the case was, there was, the case was that he found that this chumash which he found immediately after Pesach. We can't assume it came there later on Erev Pesach.
Later on.
After Pesach, later it didn't come. After Pesach. Right.
Not later on Erev.
The case was he found it immediately after Pesach. You can't, in a way that you can't say it came now after Pesach. Okay. Dalad mutar fil bechila. If the opposite scenario, mutar fil bechila. Asomer afilu im hayachanus sagu koyim haPesach. And the store was closed. So the case was a store of a non-Jew with the merchandise of a non-Jew. And the store was closed the whole Pesach. So you can't say it was the goy. Whatever is on Pesach, it sure belonged to the goy. The last time the Jew was in there with chometz was before Pesach. And now you find it after Pesach. So why would I take the why would I assume that the chametz was from the goy? The store was closed the whole Pesach. Luckily, Misli Janakri Bala Chanus Hichnasham chametz Zeh bePesach. He didn't bring the chametz in during Pesach. Bavari chametz Zeh Mikodem bePesach. So it's definitely from beforehand. V'Hava, I mean, I could have thought to say. Maybe we should say that the chometz which is found is from the workers. They were there constantly before Pesach. So I could have thought to say. We don't say that. We don't say because the guy is using it, and he's more kavua there. It's his place. He's always there. So even though so we assume that's where it came from, not from the other. Now, that's the gears of Rashi and the Ben Ochai, and the Ben Chanan has the gears of the opposites. Gears of Hepuch. Who suffered? The Tlin and Yosim be'apoyalim shematzuyim sham tamid. We assume it came from the workers, which are constantly there, more than the balabais. Balachanus, really, balachanus. And they'll make this clear whether it'll create that a case where it belongs to the non, where it's the store of a Jew, the workers were not Jewish, we assume it's by the workers. And if you find that after Pesach, because somebody, the non Jewish pile sold it to the Jew. Well, you did a Naktina Kadeka Maisa. Right, so we pass like the first sheet, which is Rashi. Oh, I'm sorry. Rashi and the Ben Ochai. Ben the Kula, Ben the Chumra. Even, fine. No, that's all right. You didn't attend the Kamaisa. I can tell you a way to understand the Talmud Turim things. So the second opinion it only said as a lacha. There wasn't food kept there normally. In other words, the Rabbeinu Hananel's pshat is a totally different pshat than the pshat of Rashi and the Rabbeinu Ochai. They're learning that someone a case where the store was used for food. So you assume it came from the store. Even the kula, in the case of the store was owned by non-Jew, we'll say it came from the store and not from the workers. That's according to them, because they're learning the case that the merchandise was food, including bread. But if you learn that if the case was that the Mishkan was not bread, so there's no reason to say it came from the owner.
It was not food.
Not from that bread. Right? Is, you know, not chomets. Some would be chomets. So why should I assume that this bread that I find, this chomets that I find, that's a pesach, belongs to the owner? I don't know. It makes more sense to say I have to assume it belonged to the workers because they're carrying more chomets around than the owner is. Everybody brown bags a lunch. So the owner brown bags his lunch. Everybody else brown bags their lunch. So there's more brown bags of their lunch than it is of his lunch. And if all the workers are not Jewish and he's Jewish, it's probably not Jewish.
All the workers are not Jewish.
Well, the Bechaber gave two cases. The first case is the store was owned by a Jew and all the workers were not Jewish. Or vice versa. So, El-Kirish lo-hoi b'chanus mini mozen rak shar scharis. Lo-hoi b'chanus mini mozen. So that opinion, which it says that so now according to this pshat in the Rabbeinu Chananel, so the first case was a Jewish store. Selling furniture, and all the merchandise in there is Jewish merchandise and selling furniture, and the workers are all not Jewish. And they find chametz at the Pesach; it's mutar b'hanua. The store belongs to a Jew. Yeah, the store belongs to a Jew, but what does it do with the chametz? The chametz, the Jew wasn't selling any chametz. Tarek says, "Well, the Jew brought some chametz in, so the goyim were more than they brought more chametz in." So you tell it in the goy, it's mutar b'hanua at the Pesach. Vice versa, the case of the store belonged to a non-Jew. And the merchandise belongs to non-Jew. The goy had a furniture store, and wasn't selling any chametz. And the workers were the store was not Jewish, and the merchandise was not Jewish, but the workers were Jewish. So in that case, the Rif says the lachas that it's going to be. The Rabbeinu Chananel says in that situation it would be Asur B'Hanua, because probably it fell from a Jew. We find chametz, we have no idea who is the real owner. Is it Jewish chametz, is it also been up to Pesach? Is it Gershon chametz, is it mutar b'hanua up to Pesach? We don't know. Yesh kosher the mutar b'hanua, yesh yes ben achrenim. There's different opinions. Yesh kosher the mutar b'hanua, b'asar b'chilah. Chazal gave a kenas, the guy be a chilah, they gave a very strong kenas. Can't be matter the kenas. The guy be the Yisr of Ahanua, it's their bonon, some of their bonon is the kula, we don't know for sure whose it is, some of their bonon is the kula. Some take it a step further. It's even what's Bechilo. Kishar Sveika Drabonon to the Kulazin, like any other Sabbath Drabonon. Chomash of the Pesos and it's a Drabonon. If it's Jews' Chomet, it's also. If it's Goy's Chomet, it's Mutter. We don't know whose Chomet it is. It's a Sabbath and it's a Drabonon. It's Yemeko. So you can eat it. The kulas in. So the first opinion says mutar b'hanua, it's also bechil. The second opinion says even mutar bechil. V'im ba'osam makom roiv yisomusin. Now, if I throw in the place where the chametz was found, the place where there's the majority of people which are walking by that area. That place are Jewish. So then, Osir Bahano. It's going to be Osir Bahano. The Varim is so novel. If it's right Jews, it probably fell from a Jew. Because the Kashim Samyarach, Pesach, Pesach, Pas Yoshon. Yoshon doesn't mean the Lachadin of Yoshon, it means it's old bread. Okay, Shiar Shalomer Shenefach Pesach. It's obvious that this wasn't made after Pesach. So it must have been made during Pesach or before Pesach. So that's a suffix, was it from a Jew or from a non-Jew? Sheyesh alormer shenef archa pesach, avim efshel litloy shenofel archa pesach. If it's possible to be tarlo that it fell erst, got lost there. Its chometz fell out after Pesach. What do I feel about chila b'cholinyan? It might have been chometz from after Pesach b'cholal. So in that situation, he says it's mutter. The suffix allows it to be mutter. V'yoshu yet lithlois shemiachra Pesach hud mishenig litlomer shemisol nofu kadam Pesach some meruba kizeh lo hayim munach b'derech. So, why are we doing this? We're saying, if it's possible it fell after Pesach, we say maybe it's not fell after Pesach. The question was maybe it fell before Pesach. We don't assume that until we prove that. So, what's the difference? This is because it's much more common that bread which has been around for a few days than bread is around for two weeks. Yeah. Yes, makes sense. Simin Tafnun. We're supposed to be, I think, through into the first sif of Tafnun for tonight. Didn't you solve any Yehudi? Sheesh Lam Shutvis.
What's the reason we're bringing in this issue?
Let's open up the window.
Sorry.
What's the reason we're going to tell us about Yayin? Mechaber doesn't say anything about Yayin. He's concerned about chametz.
You know what? I think the simple answer is he doesn't. Yayin, in a certain sense, is lav dafka. The point being,
I don't know why he discusses yayin per se. I just think to be an example. The idea was in a store which sold regular food items.
No, it could be a shoe store where everybody brings his lunch every day.
Same. Well, that's he said. No, that's not the case. Because then the workers outweigh the Jew. So then you would be telling the workers.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Simon Tafnun, didn't you still have any Yehudis Yeshem Shifras? Yisrael Shalova Kikar Mechaveira Kadam Pesach Tzarech Lapara Achra Pesach. Jew who borrows a loaf of bread before Yom Tov, before Pesach, and Zman HaPetu, even though he's going to end up having to be Mevarit, that's his business, he borrowed it and ate a little bit and Mevarit the rest, but he owes him a full loaf after Pesach. Now, there is potentially a ribbon sister over here. Jew says, you know, I got this loaf of bread Erev Yom Tov in the morning. I need something to eat for my family. I took it from you. You were throwing it out anyway. It was worthless to you. I'm not going to pay you. No. It's a gzeila if he doesn't pay it back. The time he borrowed the loaf, it was a full loaf. It was had value. What you would have done with it and what I did with it, it's irrelevant. I borrowed a loaf. I owe you back that about the money. So he has to pay him back. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah points out. Aleph, Kedem. Rishalim, Rafilu, Lava, Mimeno, Kikers, Ebe, Repez, Samach, Lazman, Abir. If he wouldn't have lent it to me, to this Jew A, lent it to Jew B. If he would not have lent it, he would have burnt it. Vim lo beer if he had not burnt it, it ended up being worth being Basabano anyway. See the way Jew A ends up with zero chametz. And now he gave it to B to eat. So it's like B says, listen to you, I should pay you. I did you a favor. No, I'll begin circle hassle like kicker acher. Acher Pesach, you have to go back a different loaf after Pesach. Sharia al Kaponim love him and Bashas Hetzer when he borrowed him an item which had value at that point in time. Well, also your chometz moment Gomri had full value of money. I mean, not like a full value. The market price went down. You know, the bakery it's half an hour before there's a amount of beer. If they'd be still open, they wouldn't be selling at full price, right? But it has some value. Should dine cut him as amount of beer. Now, there is a law in Hilchos Ribis called you can't borrow saw by saw. Person borrows $1,000, he pays back $1,000. Person borrows, he says, because he comes in there and says, listen, you know, I'm having this major. I know you store a lot of flour. You keep yoshin, you store a large amount of flour. I have this major event that I'm doing. Can I borrow 100 pounds of flour from you? I'll pay you back 100 pounds of flour. He says, yeah, I really prefer flour back. I don't need the money. I really prefer flour back. Can't do that. What are we worried about? Because I'm worried about me to rice, so that's mutter. Because there's no ribbis, he's not charging anything extra. He's borrowing 100 pounds of flour, he's paying back 100 pounds of flour. So long as he pays back the same, you know, there was no arrangement that he's giving him extra for the loan. This ribbis is, since you did me a favor, you lent me money, I'm going to give you extra. I'm not giving you anything extra. But the maisa, even though Mira writes, it's mutter, since the maisa, halacha assumes the only thing which stays stable in price is money. Everything else fluctuates against the money. So it's very possible that the value of this flour might go up. So he borrows 100 pounds of flour when the flour is selling for $1 a pound. So he borrowed $100 worth of flour. Pays him back after, you know, 5 weeks later. No, pays him. Pays him back 5 weeks later, pays him back 100 pounds of flour. Right now, granted, the price is $1.20 a pound. And this thing is worth $120 now. So he lent them 100, he got back 120. Looks like ribbis. Even though it's not really ribbis, because he didn't ask them to pay him that, he asked them to pay, the currency of this loan was flour. It wasn't money. And he didn't give any more flour than he borrowed. But since halacha looks at all items as being fluctuating, it means that the value of this flour has went up, so chazal asher, you can't do that. The only thing they did say is something which is neighbors, which are friendly to each other, and obviously they're not really makpid, and it's a dabar muad, small item. They could do it, or alternatively, what they did is they put it onto a value. He says, "Listen, you know, lend me 100 pounds of flour." I said, "Okay, great. You owe me $100. You owe me $100. Afterwards, if you want to pay me back $100 worth of flour? You could do that, which might end up being less flour." Right? Because right now the price of flour went up. Mm-hmm. But you change it into a loan of money, not a loan of item. So let's say the case over here was that he said, you know, you'll give me back the money of a kicker after Pesach. And you could give back a kicker. If the value was of the kicker is the value of that money, so then you're great. So now the Yisrael borrowed the loaf, didn't eat it, kept it over Pesach. Now it's Asabahanoah. She says to the guy, "You want me to give back the chametz? Asabahanoah? Or you want me to pay you for the chametz, which is Asabahanoah? Come on, come circle, I'm asked to pay." What's the Kiddush? Well, so of course he has to pay. He borrowed. He didn't pay back. I mean, he has to pay back. So the fact that the chametz that we hold that halboah different than what's the difference in a halboah and a sheila and a halacha? Both are translated in English as borrowing. Right? Both are considered borrowing in English. What's the difference?
difference is that when I borrow a car from you, you expect to get back the same car.
When I borrow your house for some guests for Shabbos while you're away, you expect to get back the same house. When I borrow money, you expect to get back different money. It's called the Hitzo Nitna. So in Halacha, a She'ela is a loan which I'm going to give back the same item, and a Halvoa is a loan we're going to give back a different item. If I borrow 5 eggs, I expect to get back 5 different eggs. Right? I lend you 5 eggs, I expect you're going to use the eggs, the Lohitzon, and you can spend them, and then give me back something instead. Something else instead. So of course he gave him the loaf. He doesn't expect to get back the loaf. He has no shekels to the loaf anywhere. The loaf is yours. You owe me money. So, okay, but I kept the loaf over Pesach. It says about no, so I shouldn't pay you. It's ridiculous. What does one do with the other? Zogt Mishmur, no. There is a Havamina. V'lamrina n'shlo yochel amal v'lekabel domo mishum l'chalipei chometz, because you can't exchange for chometz. And so what he's doing is like getting the money, which was an exchange for the chometz he gave the guy before Pesach. That's a problem. He said, no. She'ain't a chalipei chometz. This is not chalipei chometz. The kiman shalova hakikar hareu shalom. When he let them the loaf, it now belongs to the borrower. Ve'elo the malva love elo the malva. The malva has no claim on the loaf anymore. If the malva wanted the loaf back, he couldn't get it back anyway. He says, you know what? Give me back. I needed. All of them. I realized that I didn't feed my kids. He says, no. You let me the loaf. It's my loaf. So it means he has no claim at all on the loaf anymore. His claim is for money. So, comes after Pesach. So the borrower says, hey, you know, here's your loaf of chometz back. He says, take your loaf. It's not mine. You can't get back to me. You owe me money. The loaf of chometz you have is also b'hamna. It's chometz shalom Pesach. It's your headache. You can't pay me with this. It's worthless. I lent you a loaf. You owe me $1 for the loaf. And you give me something which is zero. You owe me $1. So no, you let me a loaf and I gave you back a loaf. He says, I didn't lend you a loaf and give back a loaf. Like you said, the language of the soul we do is I lent you, and even if that would be true, I lent you a loaf which is usable. You give me back a loaf which is unusable. Now if I still own the loaf, we saw before the case of Gzela. Excuse me. Case of Gzela, right? So, Reuven's chometz, Shimon comes after for Pesach and steals the chometz. Shimon doesn't do anything to the chometz. The chometz over the Pesach. And now, after Pesach, it's still intact. Nothing has happened to it. So who owns that? The Nigzel owns that. It's his item sitting by the Gazlan. So Gazlan says, listen, here, I'm returning your items. The guy says, you give me back things that are worthless. It's tough luck. But it's your items. I did my Hashabbos of Gzela. That's the halacha. Here's your loaf of bread, which is now worthless and useless. What, Dav? It's in Baba Kam. You're right, it's Baba Kam. Which parak?
That's right, in Baba Kam.
What parak? You know. Or what Dav? You remember what Dav is? Seventh parak, some of all. Parak Meruba, good. Seventh parak. Some above. Amid. I'm a base at the top, right? I'm a base at the top.
I don't know what
that is. Some above, I'm a base. Okay, so there's a dim. So don't think this is the same thing. Well, that's what Mishabur is saying. Over there, it's the Nigzel's comet sitting by the Gazlan. After Pesach, if it's still intact, if it's destroyed, he owes him money. He stole something, he owes him money. But Kolzman is still intact. He gives back the item and says, here's your item. There's damage. There's no actual damage to the item. It's worthless, but there's no actual damage. Right? If the item changed, it's a different story. There's a shini in the cave, it's a different story. That's by Gzela. But by Halvor, it's not the pshat that the Malva's loaf of bread is sitting by the loiva. And now, after Pesach, the loaf says, hey, here, Mr. Malva, here's your loaf of bread back. It's your loaf of bread. No, it's not. As soon as the loiva gets it, it becomes the loaf of bread. The loaf owes the malva money. Now the Lomas says, okay, I like to pay my fee. Like, oh, you money with a worthless piece of bread. He says, Mama says, keep your loaf, worthless loaf of bread and get out of here. Okay. He still shall hilva chometz lakum lithnei pesach. The Jew lent to goy chometz before the pesach. Mishilma chometz because of the lacher pesach. The goy came back with different chometz after pesach and gave it back to him as he paid back with. Ha'ovenu machzoloi chometz arishon be'en. He's not giving back that actual chometz mutter. Okay, that's mutter. But you see from this, this is a quote from the Riaz. The Riaz was Rabbi Shaya Mitrani. Tosfos Ritz's grandfather, and I remember why his name is called Riaz. There's another Riaz which is referring to Rabbi Yitzchak Sarua, but I don't think it's referring to him. Maybe these were from the Yisrael Zeruah. Yisrael Zeruah was one of the Bali Tosas who lived in Vienna. He wrote a sefer called Zeruah, and his name was Reb Yitzchak, so Reb Yitzchak Zeruah. I'm not sure which one it is. Mumi Devar Rabshim, Masala is the Chometz Aser. But you see from what he said, but if the Jew lent Chometz to the Goy before Pesach, the Goy is allowed to eat it, the Goy didn't eat it. And the Bais says, says, Rabbi, here's your Chometz back, the one that I let you lend me before Pesach. Can't take it. The Shal says, why not? He lent it to the Goy, belongs to the Goy, and after the Pesach, the Goy is paying the Jew with chometz.
It says, though it belonged to the Jew, the land.
Yeah, so why do we say that? That's not true. It belongs to the borrower.
It does, permanently? I mean, it's
going to
come back, it should come back to him at some point.
No, chometz is something which is made to eat. It's like when I lend you eggs, I don't expect to get those eggs back. Those eggs become yours, and you owe me other eggs or money. So I'll give you a loaf of bread. You don't owe me that loaf of bread. You own that loaf of bread. You eat it, and you owe me a different loaf of bread, or you owe me money. So when the you still get so the, so, the, so he owes it to us. Pichodesh kala kol zeh. Pichodesh says, no, I disagree. The Lamikri Chomet Shabbat LaPesach should we add to Hoya Shach LaHakim? The whole time it belonged to the Goy. The Kimish Shavu come the Rishus, and once he lends it to him, it goes into the Rishus to the Goy. The Hayvel Chomet Shal Nachri Shavu LaPesach the Shariah Pechilus. The Goy's Chomet after Pesach, which is Motzei Pechilus. So what's out in the Tanakh in the Riaz? Well, the Ma'aseh Yesh LaHakri Kadei Kamaisa. The Mechzik Chomet Shal Yisrael Shavu LaPesach Kimish Shavu Loi Oisah Chomet Kufa. The problem is it looks like it. Yes, really, you want to know really halachically it belongs to the Goy. But the Maisa, if somebody sees this, it says, what does he see? He sees the Jew gave Chometz to the Goy, gets the Chometz back after Pesach without selling it to the Goy, and the moment it looks like it's the Jew's Chometz after Pesach. That's the problem. So it's all Simirabonin, or Altamechsi. It's called, so the case of the Jew lent another Jew a loaf of bread before Pesach, the Jew has to pay it back. If he doesn't, he's a gossip. If he's a part of it, he's called a gzeil. Mishum chashash ribis, dosa lo besa besa, leka bikikoros, shidachila kubadabra muat al piroi, lo kapti and shibazet. So, by loaves, if it's a sa besa, packages of fruits, larger items, saw is a large measure. So that's because Allah asks you can't lend a saw of wheat for a saw of wheat. That doesn't apply to kikaros, he says, Mishnah Berurah says, because the difference between the value of kikar goes up and down, it's a very minimal value, and people are not normally makbid. So you're allowed to give it back. So he says, so loaves are something which is not such a major item that people would make an issue, whereas amounts of tavua will be an issue.
What is this?
I think Mishnah Berurah is a cotton base. It's holding here.